Well, good afternoon. I'm Robert Sumwalt, and I'm the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. And joining us today, we have Vice Chairman of the Board, Vice Chairman Bruce Landsberg, and the investigator in charge, Pete Katowski. Yesterday was really a travel day for us at the NTSB. We had investigators traveling in from as far away as Seattle, Denver, of course, Washington, and a few other locations. So today is really the first full day of boots on the ground for our investigative team. This morning we held our investigative organizational meeting, and that's where we establish our investigative protocols and designate parties to the NTSB's investigation. Now, the NTSB investigates those organizations that can provide technical expertise to our investigation. We designate those organizations as parties to the investigation. And at this point, the parties to the investigation are the New York State Police and the New York Department of Transportation. As I mentioned yesterday, our investigation is separate and apart from the New York State Police's investigation. They're conducting their investigation as they do for any fatal highway crash, and we are conducting our safety investigation. So they really are distinct, but we are working together and sharing information on those areas that would be of common interest. We've had several briefings with the New York State Police leadership to discuss our processes and to discuss best ways to work together so that we're not encroaching in on their investigation. And we certainly appreciate their cooperation and assistance and coordination going along. Our teams are examining several different areas. We have, we break our investigations into several disciplines. As far as the operator, we have a group looking at the operator, and when I refer to the operator, I mean the motor carrier, the limousine company. We have had an initial meeting with the limousine company, and as the major indicated, there's been the motor carrier has indicated a willingness to cooperate with our records request. We will be looking at the operations of the driver and the motor carrier, the actual operations of it. We're looking at the limousine operator's compliance with applicable state and federal regulations. We'll also look at the oversight, the actual oversight by the state and federal oversight authorities, agencies, the company's safety culture, the company's records of prior crashes, their management of drivers, their fatigue management program, vehicle maintenance, driver fitness for duty. We want to look at everything that we can related to the company that operated that limousine. The vehicle itself, of course, we are interested in the mechanical condition of the vehicle, inspections of the vehicle subsystems, braking, steering, suspension systems, tires, making sure the right size tires are on there, the age of the tires. We're looking for any possible corrosion that may have existed in the vehicle, as well as any vehicle body and frame and the vehicle body and frame integrity. Now, of course, this vehicle, a 2001 Ford Expedition, started out life as a traditional Expedition, and then it was stretched. So we want to make sure that the vehicle, when it was converted, the conversion was conducted in accordance with federal regulations. Now, the seating configuration, the vehicle was configured for 19 seats. It had a driver seat and a front seat passenger seat, so two up front. Right behind that, there's a partition, and there would be a rear-facing seat. And then in the very rear of the vehicle, a forward-facing seat. And then down both sides would be bench seats, with a bar located also on the a bar and a door located on the right side of the vehicle. One of the things that we look at is to see whether or not the seating configuration may have contributed to the injuries. That's the type of thing that we typically look at. We've had questions as to whether or not the seats were equipped with seat belts. Some seats, we know at this time, some seats were equipped with lap shoulder belts. At this point, we're not sure if all seating positions were equipped with seat belts. And we are not sure at this point whether or not the seat belts were worn by anyone. Usually we can determine whether or not a seatbelt was worn by looking at the damage to the seatbelt itself. The webbing might be stretched, the attach points for the seatbelt, and the medical examination will oftentimes indicate whether or not a seatbelt was worn at the time of a collision. Now, in the state of New York, seatbelts are required to be worn in limousines. They are required to be worn by the driver and front seat passengers. They are not required to be worn by occupants in the rear of the vehicle. Our initial examination has indicated that that some of the seats remained anchored to the floor. And the reason I say some of the seats is that as the vehicle is right now, when the emergency response crews are through getting the victims and the wrecker crew is ready to take the car, the car has been cut open with the jaws of life, so it's not exactly in the configuration that it was at the time of impact. Furthermore, seats have been removed to extricate the victims. So after they're through with that, they just take all of that and place it back in the vehicle. And so it's not exactly like you can just look inside the car and say, oh, there's a seatbelt, there's one, because there are a lot of items that have been placed back in the vehicle. But over the next few days, we've secured a tent to place over the vehicle. And over the next few days, our investigators will get in there along with the New York State Police and start recreating this, removing that debris that has been placed back in it. As far as the damage to the limousine, just a visual examination would reveal that there's, of course, extensive damage to the front of the car, with more damage done to the left front of the car. But a lot of damage, intrusion, engine compartment pushed back into the front of the car. Certainly indications of high energy impact. Tomorrow, once the federal and state offices, reopen after today's holiday, we will be able to get in touch with the DOTs, the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, to get a more complete rundown on the motor carrier, the limousine company itself. Highway factors. We certainly want to look at the highway, the roadways. As you know, the roadway was 30, Highway 30, coming down the hill, was reconfigured a few years ago from the current T configuration that it currently has. It used to be as you come down the hill, the road veered off to the left instead of the 90-degree angle that it intercepts 30A now. So we want to look at the roadway configuration. We want to look at the roadway conditions, the signage, the geometric design of the highway, lighting, traffic volume, any prior crash history that may involve that intersection. And we want to make sure that it complies with the design manuals. ASHTO is the design manual that roadways should be compliant with. We flew a drone today over the site, And we will compare the present roadway with the way the roadway was configured a few years ago. We will also be conducting additional drone measurements and scans tomorrow, and that will involve some lane closures tomorrow. The human performance. Yes, we are certainly interested in any driver medical fitness issues that may be there. We don't know if there are, but we will be looking into that. We'll be looking to see if fatigue may have been an issue. The toxicology results, they will be sent to the U.S. Department of Transportation's Civil Air Medical Institute in Oklahoma City, where they will look at over 1,000 different possible drugs that may be in someone's system. We're, of course, interested in the driver qualifications. We heard the major commenting on that earlier, and including any crash history or driving infractions. Emergency response, we are looking at the overall emergency response. And we want to thank the first responders. And we're in the process of obtaining the 911 records, call logs. Our investigators will be here probably about 5 days at this point. While they're here, they're not here to speculate. They're not here to determine the cause. What they are here to do at this point is to collect the perishable information, the information that can go away with the passage of time. And of course, our mission is not only to find out what happened. We know what happened. We know that a car apparently ran a stop sign and had a tragic result. So we're here not to find out just what happened, but why it happened. And our ultimate goal is to keep things like this from happening again. For the latest information, follow us on Twitter, which is our calls, our sign is at NTSB_newsroom. Or you can follow us at our website, ntsb.gov. In just a moment, I will call for questions, but once I do, what I'd like for you to do is raise your hand. When I call on you, please state your name and your affiliation. So I'll be glad to take your questions right here.
Mercedes Williams with Spectrum News. As far as you know, was that vehicle that the crash due to operator error?
The question is, as far as I know, was the crash due to operator error? And that would be speculation. And we want to get all the facts. And once we have the facts and we've carefully analyzed those, we will issue a probable cause. But at this point, we're here just to collect the factual information. There's a question right here.
Can you explain how that expedition was modified to people at home who are wondering how it's actually broken in half, stretched out, and then this could have had the same brakes as an SUV, not brakes for this large vehicle that would be able to sustain that brake going down that hill?
Thank you. Great question. Can we explain how the modification occurred? And Pete, can you take that one? Or all right, Pete Kotowski.
In the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, there's requirements about braking systems on vehicles. And that's one of the things that is open in this investigation. And as we spoke earlier about the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards will be examined in this case.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a question right here.
Thanks. Robert Gavin, Times Union in Albany. Mr. Chairman, you said this was certainly indicative of high energy impact. Can you say that? What are you talking about?
Well, when we talk about high energy impact, what are we talking about? You can look at the crush damage throughout the vehicle to see that if an entire engine block is moved back and basically crushed, moved back past the driver's seat, that would indicate there was a lot of force and energy involved in that crash.
Speeding?
We didn't say speeding. We said energy. And kinetic energy is 1/2 mass times velocity squared, whatever that means. So it's a combination of the mass and the speed of the vehicle, which would create that type of damage. So one of the things that we hope to be able to determine is what the speed of the vehicle was at the collision, and I think we have the technology to do that. Let's see. There's a question right here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Mike Gormley, Newsday. Can you say at this point, is there any evidence that the brakes were being applied at all to slow down or to brake at all?
Yeah, is there any evidence at all that the brakes were being applied? There's no apparent skid marks. However, I want to point out that like today and yesterday, on Saturday, it was misting, so that could perhaps a damp road could perhaps mitigate any skid marks. Also, the anti-lock braking these days are designed to keep cars from skidding. So one of the things we should be able to do, and you heard the major say that they have, I think they said they've recovered the engine control module. Is that what?
The airbag.
Oh, the airbag. And the airbags can tell us pulses, decelerative pulses?
Possibly.
So we do not know the speed of the vehicle at the point of impact right here.
Chairman Michael Benny with WTVH TV in Syracuse. First of all, welcome to the out-of-towners to upstate New York. But you come from different parts of the country. You're investigating this crash here in our neck of the woods. I'm wondering what's different about this investigation and this crash from the perspective of all the brain power you've got here that's flown in from all over the country.
So,
at first blush, what is it?
Yeah, what is the difference between this crash from others that we investigated? And as I said yesterday, the thing that is striking to me and to our team is the unfortunate number of fatalities. We've got 20 fatalities. So that is that's very striking. And as I mentioned yesterday, this is the most deadly transportation accident or crash that we've seen on U.S. soil since February of 2009. So it's definitely something that we're very interested in, and we will follow up and complete recommendations that hopefully will improve the safety of this industry. Mr. Costello.
Mr. Sumwalt, do you have any indication whether that vehicle had the so-called black box that a modern vehicle would have, or was it too old?
Yeah, Pete, what does this vehicle have in terms of black boxes? Pete was talking earlier today. I'll let you take an answer on that. I think it's...
That's an area that's still being addressed. We do know, and as was reported earlier by the major, the one component that was recovered is the airbag module. Vehicles change over time. Technology changes over time. We have not completed our examination, nor have the state police, about looking at what other components that may be on the vehicle. Passenger vehicles are typically not equipped with the black box that we see in aviation and other modes of transportation.
Thank you. There's a question way back here in the back.
Jimmy Vilkind from the Wall Street Journal. I know that limousines need to have a federal certification, that modification was done correctly. Was that in place for this vehicle, and can you talk about when it was issued? Also, we heard from the state police and from the governor about a past inspection that has failed. Is it a state or federal inspection? And what can you tell us about the inspection history of this?
Okay, a lot of questions there, and I think the first one dealt with, I think you said this had a DOT. What was the first part of the question?
Does it have a conversion certification?
Does it have any conversion certification? And so one of the things we want to look at is, was that certification done in compliance with the federal requirements for a conversion? As far as the other questions you asked about what the major mentioned earlier today or about the driver's qualifications, that's really in their wheelhouse right now, and we will eventually get that information, but right now that's part of the New York State Police's wheelhouse, and you wanted to follow up on that, I think.
I was referring to federal inspections of the vehicle, not the driver. When was there a recent inspection? What is it?
So it's not a federal.
We're still looking for this document.
Okay, thank you. So those are the types of documents that we hope to obtain. I know everybody here wants the answers. You all have questions. We have a lot of questions. We're really just on basically our first real day of getting here, and we will eventually get those answers. Right now we don't have them. It's a question right here.
Mark from Lauder, ABC News. We don't know obviously the exact cause of this, as you mentioned, as the investigation goes on. But is there a greater concern about limos in general, as we talked about here, that these things are cut up and put together secondhand? Should there be a concern?
The question is, should there be a greater concern with the traveling public about limousines? And let me just say this. We are here to investigate this particular crash to understand the facts, circumstances, and conditions surrounding this crash. However, we can't prevent this accident from happening. This one's already happened. So our larger goal is to see if, in fact, this is a more widespread issue. Right now, our focus is just on this one accident, this one crash. If we find that there are issues there that affect the industry at large, we will address those. Yes, ma'am.
I want to make sure we're clear on this. Governor Cuomo said the New York State Department of Transportation last month inspected this vehicle. The vehicle failed inspection. Can you confirm that?
Can I confirm what Governor Cuomo said this morning at 11 o'clock? No, I cannot, because we don't have that information.
One of the questions, a follow-up to her, is about the structural integrity and the idea that these vehicles are stretched and they have to meet certain guidelines. Can you talk generally about how the structural integrity can be harmed or by stretching a vehicle this way? What does it do that makes it not as safe as other vehicles potentially?
Yeah, so the question is, how are these modifications converted? And I want to be clear that we did not say that stretch limousines are any less safe than other vehicles. That was something that you said, but we feel that if it possibly, we want to look at the federal requirements, but we want to make sure that the federal requirements are sufficient to ensure there is no different level of safety between a car that rolls off the production line and one that is converted to a limousine.
Last question,
Mr. Chairman.
There's a question right here.
Jesse McKinley, New York Times. I'm confused. So you don't know whether or not this vehicle had a federal certification?
The vehicle is not required to have a federal certification.
But a conversion is certified.
All right, I'm going to turn that one over to Pete.
That is one of the things. There's when vehicles are manufactured, they have to be in compliance with certain federal motor vehicle safety standards, depending upon the type of vehicle that's involved. In this particular case, because of the damage, the typical plates that you normally see are plainly in view. They're not in this particular case. And so there's a great deal of information that we need to seek back from manufacturers and other sources to find out what the FMVSS or the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards were applicable to this vehicle.
So you can't actually find
typically, there's a plate that's attached, very similar to your VIN number on a vehicle, and because of the damage, it's not visible to us at this time. So there are other means that we have to look at to verify that information, and we're in the process of gathering that now.
Do you think it exists? Do you think it exists and you haven't found it yet, or
yes?
Do you think it exists, but you just can't find it?
At this time, we have not located. That's correct.
So I want to thank you all very much, and you can follow us on our Twitter handle or at NTSB for future updates. Thank you very much.
Did you touch the White House at all about this crash?